There are two kinds of waiting. There's the long waiting, when the prize, the redemption, seems to never come. And then there's the other kind of waiting that's very short. It's a kind of, has a sort of an urgency to it because the time is now. And Jesus is often telling his disciples, the time is now. So don't be waiting as if you're waiting for a master away on a long journey. Take advantage of the situation and start living the situation now. Now, these first two readings are about the long waiting. They were a couple of centuries in oppression in Egypt, put into slavery. It was a bitter time for the Israelites in those days. And they were praying for redemption and trying to rely on their hope in God, but most of them died without the redemption occurring. And so the author of the Book of Wisdom says, they died nonetheless. But they saluted it from afar. They put into practice the divine institution. I love that turn of phrase. They put into practice the divine institution. Only God, through Moses, could deliver them from that oppression. And it hadn't happened yet, and yet they put it into practice in their lives to the best of their ability before it happened. And I think one of the ways that helps understand this is that there are two different Greek words for time. First of all, there's chronos, and that's chronological time. And chronological time is 1 second after another, 1 minute, 1 hour, 1 day, one year after another. It sort of happens in a straight line. That's chronological time. And this happens before this happens, and that happens after that happens. It's on a straight line. Chronos is the other Greek word for time, and when Jesus says the time is now, or the time is at hand, the Greek text doesn't use chronos, it uses kairos. And kairos is time filled with meaning. When you are involved in a project to which you are deeply devoted or that brings you great satisfaction, you can work on into the night or you can work for hours and the time just slips away. It just disappears because the time is full of meaning. As opposed to waiting for something, waiting for someone to come and visit, and the minutes slip by like hours. It just seems to take forever. That's the two different kinds of time. We're in a similar situation ourselves. We are living most of our lives in chronological time. And when you're young, chronological time goes very slowly. It just takes forever to get to first grade. And you look at those people who are seniors in high school and you think, I'll never get there. You know, it just, but by the time you're my age, it's come and gone. Years pass quickly, you know, because actually, well, there are a couple of reasons for that, but one is because time gets filled with meaning from all your lived experiences. I think that has a lot to do with it. And the other reason is that when you are 6 years old, a year is a sixth of your life. And when you are 60 years old, a year is only a 60th of your life. So it seems quicker. But it's also, and I think more importantly, time filled with meaning. So, Abraham and Sarah, they were sojourning in the very land that was promised to them, but God didn't tell them that that was the land. And so they were kind of condemned, you might say, to wandering, sojourning, pilgrimaging for their entire lives, waiting for the promise, and being asked to trust and hope that the promise was going to be fulfilled. By the time Isaac is born, which is one of the promises that God gave, that they would have descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sands on the seashore. And that promise was fulfilled finally in their 90s in Isaac. And then they're asked to give him up. And they are willing to do that because they believed that God could even raise from the dead, that nothing, not even death, could stop God's promises. And then they were able to receive Isaac back as a symbol. Well, here we are. We're living in one of the richest countries on earth. We are the top 1% of the human population on earth right now. We are in good times, and somebody's always saying these are bad times. And, you know, you can always point out the negative in any situation. But even more than that, we are living in the knowledge that Christ died for our sins. That chronologically, our redemption is not awaiting. It happened already 2,000 years ago. So even chronologically, we are fortunate. We are blessed. And yet, we still await the fulfillment of the kingdom. We are living in the promise, but we're awaiting its fulfillment. And so we experience a kind of a frustration like Abraham and Sarah and like the Israelites in Egypt, at least to the extent that we know that we are not citizens here, that this is not really our homeland. We're sojourning in a land that is not the promised land that God is holding out for us. That's the kingdom. And if Jesus says the kingdom is now, it's at hand. If you are willing to access that, if you're willing to step into Kairos kind of time, if you're willing to accept the salvation that's given to you and learn to be Christ. And how do you learn to be Christ? By dying. He's the dying one. He's the one who gave himself for us on the cross and showed us that that's what it looks like to be divine. And we are invited into divinity, to share in divinity. But Jesus isn't telling us, oh, take up your cross and suffer your whole life long and have no joy and have a long face and all that sort of stuff. He says, this is how you find fulfillment. This is how you find Kairos time. To lose yourself is to gain yourself. To take the last place is to be brought up to the first place. To give your life is to receive it back. And most of us have experienced in some way or another that the more you give, the more you receive. That meaning in life, Kairos, is found through losing yourself, dying to yourself, giving yourself. And so here every Sunday morning, we gather around this altar that's about sacrifice, that's about dying, that's about giving, and we offer ourselves along with Christ and we get Christ back. We give ourselves as completely to God as we possibly can ritually, and we get back God in his body and blood. And so in the same way that the author of the Book of Wisdom is suggesting that those Israelites were already putting into practice the divine institution that hadn't chronologically come, we are celebrating the meal of the kingdom before it chronologically gets here. Chronologically, it's not here yet. But in terms of Kairos, it's already here. It's for us to access it, for us to live it, for us to accept the gift and to give it away. And so we do that ritually here at the altar, but then when we leave from here, we're going to be doing that all week. We're going to be living Kairos time. We're going to be putting into practice the divine institution of the kingdom, something that only God can bring, but we're going to be putting it into practice already.